opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
And I am neither Carl nor Linda Bott. My name is Michael Burke, and I'm Executive Director of Pathways to Hope for Children, which is Shasta County's Child Abuse Prevention Coordinating Council. But that's not why I'm here today. I'm here to co-host the Carl and Linda Bott Show with my co-host.
Hi, I'm Robert Burke. I'm his son.
And you might recognize him from his weekly spot here to review movies, but today he's going to do even more. And Robert, you're currently in some type of film school?
Yeah, so there is a two-week intensive filmmaking institute that I am a part of right now that is through UCLA. It would have been in person if it were not for COVID, but it is online, and I have been doing that for the past week or so.
And so as Robert and I were setting up, who did we want to talk to during the time? We get Robert for about an hour and a half of the 2 hours. And in the second part of the show at 8 o'clock, we'll be talking with Shasta College, which is also where Robert takes classes. But Robert wanted to talk theater. Are you missing the theater, local theater here?
Yeah, I am quite a bit. It's been not just seeing it, but also being in it. It's been a long time since I was in a show, and the last two shows I took a part in as costume designer and in it were canceled as a result of COVID. So I have been missing theater quite a bit.
So when you speak theater, you have to think of Riverfront Playhouse. And Riverfront Playhouse, I saw their video this weekend, and it's amazing. And we have Daryl Alvey, who's president of the board of Riverfront Playhouse. Welcome, Daryl.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good.
Good. So Robert was really interested in having you on the show also because of what's going on at Riverfront right now. You were slated for Clue. I actually got to shoot your pictures for you, and I was excited to have pictures in the first program in the new theater. And Robert was actually trying to weasel his way in and get a small part because he missed auditions because he was doing other stuff. But so what's going on at Riverfront right now?
Well, I'm sorry we didn't get to open Clue. As you said, we were all prepared and moving forward, and hope springs eternal, as the expression goes, but the COVID virus took an upsurge, and we decided the best thing for us to do would be to cancel our show, and then after further discussion and considering the circumstance of our community, we decided to postpone the rest of the season. So we won't have a stage production in our new building anytime this year. So next year.
And when are the dates for the first show?
Well, generally, we're planning on opening Clue in February.
February 2021?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to take the entire 2020 season that we had planned, Clue, Steel Magnolias, Dracula, Christmas show. We're just going to move that to the 2021 season. That's our plan at this point. So.
And how did the actors take that decision, the directors and all of that?
You know, I was very pleased with their response because as administrators, the executive committee and I and the board of directors, we thought this through very carefully. And the Clue, they were already in rehearsals. We had part of the set built. I mean, we were moving forward with the production. And actors, they enjoy what they're doing. They prepare. They have to learn lines. They have to learn blocking. They have to start working. And we were well into that process. But I sat down with them and said, these are the facts and circumstances. This is where we are. How do we want to move forward? We had a 14-person cast, so that meant they were in close proximity to each other the whole time, you know. And they understood completely. I mean, there was no moaning or groaning or arguing. They were, of course, disappointed. As Robert said, many of us, we like to be on stage. I got involved with Riverfront because I'm an actor and enjoy doing those kinds of things. In fact, I enjoy film. Robert and I have my own IMDb page.
Oh, really?
I've been in a number of films. We just enjoy that creative part of it, you know.
Yeah.
I am president of the board for several reasons. One of them is because I'm an attorney, and they looked to me for advice, and the next thing you know, they were asking me legal advice, and I got involved in the administrative level. But my real love for theater is standing on the stage and acting and, you know, enjoying bringing good stories to the community expressing mm-hmm. art, you know, and creativity through the performing arts.
And you do that well. It was the right decision. It's a really hard decision. Many things have been canceled, including, you know, Robert was talking about UCLA Film School. He should have been in UCLA right now. He should have been in person at the Film Academy. But he rolled with the punches, and it's what we have to do right now.
It truly is what we have to do. We have to think of each other. We have to think of the general health of the community, and just be careful and mindful that this virus is out there, and we think we know the circumstances, and we know the conditions under which it's going to spread, but there's still some unknowns, and so the best course of action is to limit that exposure. And our clientele, our patronage, consists, you know, we've been in this community for July the 10th was the 39th anniversary of the very first production. If you saw our film,
yes.
You know, we talked about that. So that we were entering our 40th season, and we have a patronage of citizens that are, they've been around a long time as part of our theater, and their age demographic is somewhat in the 65 plus, 70 plus category. And they're the ones that are in most danger, most at risk. And so we decided that and other reasons to just postpone the season, keep everybody safe.
So how is the theater staying afloat during these times? Because I know you just moved to a new theater, and I'm sure there's a lot of costs associated with that. And with you guys being closed, it's hard to turn a profit. So are you guys taking donations or anything like that?
We're taking donations. We have significant donations from several folks through Biaticals. That's been very helpful. During this construction period, we've asked people to sponsor different items in their theater. We needed seats, of course, is one that people can sponsor a seat, have their name put on a plaque on that seat, permanently ensconced as a donation that they made. We sell customized, personalized bricks. People can buy and put their message, whether it's an organization, individuals, those kinds of things. But I will tell you this, that the business community has been very generous with us. We're right at the end of our construction for renovating 1950 California Street. I know you guys have seen it. Mm-hmm. If those listeners out there haven't seen it yet, just stop by and just take a look at that beautiful sign that we have, that portal sign is up. But the business community, and I hesitate to start naming all of the different organizations, but everybody from Rotary and other civic organizations, businesses, have all made contributions of in-kind donations of one kind or the other. And some have just made straight cash donations. Several foundations, the Shasta Regional Foundation helped us buy some equipment through the McConnell Fund. The Sierra Pacific Fund. I mean, I start saying that, yeah. I go on and on. But as you know, Michael, being out in the community, mm-hmm. asking this community to support important organizations and, such as yours, of course. I've been working with CAPC myself for many years. This community is very, very generous, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate all the support and background, backfilling of income, I guess. I'm not quite sure where I'm going with that, but anyway.
Well, you're saying that people can still donate if they
absolutely.
Like, and you can still get a seat. It's not too late to get a seat or a brick as you build out the theater, which is a great discussion. We're probably about a minute away from our break, but when we come back from the break, we'll definitely talk about what are you going to do in the next, 6 months while the theater is kind of sitting there. I mean, I know that you have this beautiful space. As you said, your wife took me on a quick tour when I was there to take pictures, and it's beautiful. They have a full wood shop inside so they can build the sets. They have saws and hammer guns, anything you need to build and construct a set. I'm so excited to see something live on this. And I noticed some of the seats did have the little plaque squares that weren't filled yet.
Right.
Where are you going to put the bricks?
Outside the patio, there'll be around the sidewalk areas, and then at some point when we get enough, we'll build a nice patio outside.
Okay, well, we're going to go into our first break. This is KCNR 96.5 FM.
In my little town, I grew up believing God keeps his eye on us all. And he used to lean upon me as I pledged allegiance.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, I'm Congressman Doug LaMalfa. The coronavirus pandemic has caused our nation's blood supply to drop dangerously low. You can help end the shortage by giving blood. Giving blood is a safe, life-saving activity that's easy and painless. Trust me, I'm a 7-gallon donor myself. Visit lamalfa.house.gov/giveblood to find the blood donation center nearest you. Your donation could save a life. Paid for by official funds authorized by the United States House of Representatives.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
So much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown.
This is a great song to bring us back from the break. This is KCNR FM 96.5. It is currently 79 degrees here in Reading, which means it's summer and it's hot. I know yesterday was really hot. And I am Michael Burke. And
I am Robert Burke.
And we are here with Daryl Alvey, who is the president of the Riverfront Playhouse Board of Directors. And we, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the theater itself and what it looks like inside. What's your favorite part, Daryl, of the new theater?
Well, I'm thrilled, of course, with the auditorium. I don't know if you saw pictures. You can take a look at them online at riverfrontplayhouse.net. And take a look at the progression. The auditorium that we're in now with the stage and our seating areas was a swimming pool just a year ago.
And that's hard to believe.
We cracked that, the sides all down, threw it in the pool, covered it, and you'd never know now. We're in the Rio building, which was the Reading Industrial Occupational Health Facility. A lot of listeners may recognize that. At the corner of California and Gold Street. A lot of people here went to rehab there. A lot of their kids learned how to swim in that pool and quite a facility there. In fact, I had rehearsed there for Fiddler on the Roof and a couple of other performances that we had. And when we had the opportunity to buy the building, we just couldn't pass it up. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. So the auditorium is the favorite room, of course. That's where the stage is and the seating, and we've got all new lighting. Robert, if you come down and take a look at things, you're going to see new sound, new lighting, a new sound board and control board. It's just absolutely beautiful. You recognize that our facility over on East Cypress and the old warehouse and the little 6-inch platform that we call the stage and split audience. So we wound up with this phenomenon called an apex that was right in the middle of the performance area. All of that's gone, so I'm really proud of that. But in addition to that, we've got an absolutely beautiful green room. The actors are just going to love it. We've got a reception room with a small cabaret stage in it. We have a full-service cocktail bar now. I mean, I could go on and on about the rest of the building, but
right.
That's the great part. And John Strebe has built a custom metal chandelier that's just beautiful. Just on and on. I'm thrilled with everything that we're doing.
Well, you guys, like I said, you guys are the definition of perseverance.
Yes. Mary Forbes, Dan Kupski, and Carol Skill, and I could go on with the list of volunteers. We're an all-volunteer organization. There's lots of them. But they started 15 years ago. They started having meetings and talking about raising funds so they could move downtown. And you said, was that Petula Clark singing Downtown?
Yeah, I think so.
It was, I think.
Yeah.
And so downtown has become the new focus of our community with all the construction down there bringing housing down, taking the roof off the old mall and all of those things. So we're thrilled to be a part of that downtown renaissance that is happening.
And I'm sure it was really difficult trying to transform what was previously a gym into a theater. So, how many walls did you have to knock down? And that kind of thing?
It was, just beside the swimming pool, I think, was our biggest challenge. But then seeing to it that the building was outfitted properly, so we had costume rooms and prop rooms, an alternate rehearsal site for our actors, little features that you don't think about when you're in an old warehouse. You just do it with whatever you got. But this was well thought out, so we have alternate rooms in the facility to use. And of course, we upgraded to handicap assistance in our other facility. It was difficult. Sometimes people came in the front door and got their ticket and then had to go through the green room where all the actors were hanging out because that was the only level way to get around to the other side of the building for handicap seating.
So if anybody has a question or comment for Daryl or want to chime in, it's 605-4567 is the phone number, and we do have the chat open if anybody'd like to type in chat, have a question for Daryl or Robert or myself. But Daryl, What are you guys going to do for the next 6 months at the theater as you prepare for the 2021 opening?
Well, in terms of the financial challenge that we're facing, as with all businesses in the community, even though we're a nonprofit, that doesn't mean we have...
Still got to meet the bottom line.
We got to sell tickets and have revenue coming in so we can make the mortgage payments. And Cornerstone Community Bank has just stepped up to the plate to help. We've deferred some payments for a while. We'll have our occupancy building permit from the city within the next week. I mean, we're right there. We're just right close to being done, which means then our construction loan will convert to a long-term mortgage, and off we go. Well, the banks agreed to defer some of those payments for a little while to help us with our cash flow issues. And then we did apply and get some COVID-19 funds from the SBA, and that was helpful. So that should help us keep afloat for a while. And so 6 months, not going to be a problem. 12 months, if we tighten our belts, we should be okay. After that, we're going to have to go out and start looking for money somewhere again.
Well, as a nonprofit, you're always looking for money, but I hear what you're saying. You guys have a widget. You have something that you can produce, which is the community sweat equity into the theater. And I think that's why Riverfront has been so successful, because of the sweat equity this local theater community has. It's such a supportive and loving theater community. I've watched them raise my son with us, and it's just an amazing support system.
And we've now remodeled that building that Robert was asking me about. It's probably worth close now to $2 million, maybe $2.2 million upon completion. We only have a $1 million mortgage. So the community's been very, very helpful in helping us with probably another $200,000 to $250,000 in loans and donations and other ways, so we could buy tables and chairs and all of the other things we need to outfit the theater besides the actual physical hard construction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So $1 million donor that's listening right now would probably set you straight.
Now that you mentioned it, we only need one.
Yeah, you only need one.
Just call in now, and we'll take your pledge.
So, Daryl, I saw on your Facebook page you guys are looking for others to get involved with the community in a different way besides on stage. How is that?
Well, we have a very robust volunteer program. Kim Moley's been helping us coordinate the people that want to volunteer. Many different places besides acting, set construction, costuming, all the things that are involved in putting on a production and getting people out there on the stage. But we're always looking for qualified administrative personnel that want to be on our board of directors to volunteer to help us set policy and make the decisions that would help this theater continue on and improve our presentation to the community, improve our performances, improve our financial status. And so if there's someone that has administrative experience or experience sitting on boards that would like to help, contact myself at Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L-L, at riverfrontplayhouse.net, or Steve Main or several others that they could contact that are on the board, express their interest, and we'd be happy to talk to them and see if they can help, and we could work out some kind of assistance. They could help us, and in fact, right now we're looking for a chief financial officer specifically.
All right. I just have one last question for you. When you were saying goodbye to the old theater, I'm sure that there was like a lot of emotions behind that, having to say goodbye to a place that you had been for 38 or 39 years. So I was wondering, is there anything you miss about the old theater while you're in the new one, or is it just, you know, in the past?
Well, there is that nostalgia for what has been and how things are, and I'm a typical human being with all others, change doesn't come easy sometimes, you know.
Right.
However, I started on the journey of the new theater 4 years ago when we helped in the acquisition of the property itself and then worked with the architects and the engineers to get it ready. So before we moved out of 1620 Cypress, which we just did April 1st of this year, I had already been on a 3-year journey, almost 4-year journey of acquisition and focused on the new building. But I will tell you, it's kind of bittersweet. You know, that theater was very close, intimate, and we really enjoyed it and liked it. So it's nostalgic. We miss it. And a lot of the actors and a lot of people said, no, let's don't move. But we did. Anyway.
So. Well, thank you, Daryl. That actually runs out our time. Riverfrontplayhouse.net to learn more or get in touch with Daryl. It's been great to have you here for this half hour. This is KCNR FM 96.5 in AM 1460.
We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Let us brighten up your summer. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our
$10,000 Sunny Money Swipe to Win promotion.
Swipe daily for free slot play and prizes.
We do drawings every Wednesday at 7, 8, and 9 p.m.
15 winners, $100 free slot play.
5 winners, $500 cash.
Don't miss your chance to win your share of $10,000 and other great prizes. Details at windriver.com.
$10,000 Sunny Money Swipe to Win.
You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In July, we're talking about getting your book into your target audience's hands, even if you're on a tight budget. August is Diagnosis Writer, which means we're taking a look at how to identify and solve common problems for many authors.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Give my regards to Broadway. Remember.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. I am your co-host, Robert Burke.
And I am Michael Burke, and we are now joined with the Cascade Theater Matilda crew. We're keeping our theater theme alive and really talking about what's happened in downtown Reading and what's going on with our local live theater during the COVID-19 crisis and pandemic. We all miss getting together. I miss seeing your guys' faces. And the community misses seeing the heart and passion of the actors and all the people who work backstage on the productions. You know, Daryl just talked about how much Riverfront finally got to this new beautiful theater, and now they can't open. So you guys had a similar experience with the show you're producing, right?
Yeah.
Wait. I guess I need to introduce you first. Tara Ferris. And Tara, what's your role with Cascade?
I am currently sort of, I'm technically the production manager, but I'm also sort of the acting producer of the show. And we have, you know, our show is supposed to open in March.
In March.
In March.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
So, and we were 4 days away from opening. Literally.
I remember talking to you about those decisions. What do we do?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We also have Eileen Davis, who is director of Matilda, as well as other Cascade shows in the past.
And who has also directed Robert in a play or two and helped him grow as an actor.
Oh, thank you. I loved having Robert.
So what's going on with Matilda?
So we were lucky enough to be able to do a very, very rough sort of run through with costumes March 14th. You were so wonderful to come and take photos.
Love it.
So that way we could have at least some memories of it and to sort of use it for whatever kind of we were going to do in the future. And so we were able to do that. And then, as you guys know, COVID, the Rona, all the things. We thought we were going to get to postpone until June, and then we thought there might be some opportunities during the summer for some fundraising. But now the plan is October, so we're looking to open October 8th. I think that's a Thursday. So that's kind of the plan right now, and we're kind of full steam ahead with that unless we hear otherwise from the CDC and other things. But the theater has been working tirelessly on cleaning and sanitizing and making stations and social distance seating. And so hopefully that happens in October. But if not, the plan is, because we're in such an incredible spot, because Eileen did all this amazing work and got us to the point where we were 4 days away from opening, that we are pretty much ready to roll. All the stuff is still in the theater. All the costumes are still in the theater. We are like, We could do it today.
We could do it today.
Eileen, how do you keep the actors motivated during this break?
I think in the beginning, it was very easy to keep everyone motivated because we thought there was going to be such a quick turnaround. During the summer, when we started feeling like, okay, now we have all this momentum and we don't know what to do with it, I actually told my actors to take a break. I said, you need to just, the rest of the world is taking a break. Spend some time doing self-care, focus on your family, focus on yourselves, other projects that you have, because I do think that, I mean, I know that on Broadway and traveling shows, they do keep a show going, but it's after it's already been started. We didn't even get a chance to start the run. So even though it was finished, there was this feeling of still being unfinished. So I did tell everybody, take a break, and when we know that we're picking it back up, then we're going to get that momentum going again. We'll rerun the lines. We'll re-go through all the steps. But, it was a very strange thing to tell my actors, just do nothing for a while. Yeah. But, yeah.
And do you know when you would start rehearsing again, considering the October release dates or start times?
I think either way, we felt that 6 to 8 weeks would be some kind of a good timeline to get going. There were a couple of factors where if we had actors who couldn't come back and finish, we might need to either train someone else or, try and work on picking up some new things. But yeah, it's still just up in the air. And I feel like with the rest of the world and the rest of the things we've put on hold, we just kind of have to feel out every day and see how much time we have and where we think things stand at the time. So for now, if we're opening in October, then I still need 6 to 8 weeks to put it together the way that it deserves to be put together. But it is, I mean, it was packaged. It was ready to go.
Right.
So
when you were, back in March when the COVID pandemic started spreading and started becoming really serious, at what point did you guys kind of realize that you might need to push back the show and what were the emotions that came along with that?
Oh, it was it was really sad.
Yeah.
I think we realized March 14th, which was our day, was initially going to be sort of our sort of stumble through with lights and sound and everything. And that's when we were like, okay, there's a chance that we're not going to get to do this. So let's do it to the fullest extent that we can. And I had hoped that we would all rally together and do the best sort of run through that we were able to do. But we didn't want to pressure the cast because who knew, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if COVID was going to be as serious as it was. But the whole cast banded together and we did it. We did a full run through. And it was just pretty magical to see everybody finally in costumes, especially Trunchbull, Stephen Spencer. This has been something that he has been wanting to do for pretty much ever. And finally getting to see Trunchbull from, you know, on paper to actually get to see him on stage was pretty magical and also very sad as well.
I kind of remember some tears and hugs that were going on that March 14th.
And disappointment is such a strong emotion. You know, there was a lot of fear, obviously, around COVID, mm-hmm. but when the world just kind of slowed down and came to a screeching halt, you had so many things that stopped. You know, we had families and kids that were worried about school and jobs and all of these projects. And I think that the last thing we really processed was, wait a second, we were doing a show.
Yeah.
And everyone was initially sad because there's so much emotion behind putting together a show anyway. I mean, you can have a show open normally and everyone's crying the night before because it's such a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that everyone processed it differently in their own time over those next few weeks. And the disappointment was great. People didn't know where to put those feelings that we had so put together perfectly for months, really.
Well said. And there's got to be some magic. And I'm usually there much farther along and see the process. I haven't been there when you saw the first costumes. You guys have quite an amazing costumer involved with you, don't you?
We do. Marcella is just, she's incredible. She is incredible and she takes an idea. You know, her and Eileen have their own process, so, and you can probably talk to that a little bit more, but I've worked with Marcel almost a year now, and you give her an idea, and you say, hey, I need a white jumpsuit with sparkles, and then she comes back with pretty much what was in your brain.
Wow.
It's incredible. Yeah. She's so talented.
All three shows I've done at the Cascade I've done with Marcella, and I love my process with her. It's so exciting to tell her the vision that you have, and then see it happen in physical form. It's just amazing. And Matilda was a fairly, I say, simple show to costume in terms of most of the characters had one costume. But it was still complex to get it right. You know, those uniforms had to be right. So, and they had to fit.
Yeah.
Finding uniforms for all those kids was definitely tricky, but Marcella always pulls through.
And that was another finishing detail, right?
It was.
Before you got canceled, there was another finishing details. You got to see the costumes.
Yes.
Thankfully.
Yeah. And postponed, not canceled.
And it was kind of magical. I mean, you know, magic always happens in the theater, but it was such an interesting way that it happened. We were not going to originally try to even do a run-through. We didn't know if we could or not.
Mm-hmm.
And because initially we felt that we might lose some cast members, we had one cast member say, can we just do it one time?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody kind of looked around the room and we went, we're going to do it one time. And that's when we finally saw the costumes together. And it was an incredibly powerful experience. We just experienced the show together.
Yeah.
And we had never done that before. So it was really beautiful.
Yeah. So just real quick, right before we go, I'm wondering, what do you look forward to with opening Matilda in October? And what do you think it could bring to, you know, a divided and troubled community like where we are sitting at right now?
I mean, art is definitely the thread that binds us. People are home behind closed doors. They're creating as much as they can, whether they're sharing it or not. We want to share our story. You know, we've told it. It's beautiful. We love it. It's I think it's the best show that I've been a part of. I think that it will heal people. I think that it will inspire people. And I think that it will give people hope that life is going to continue on after all of this. So we want to tell it.
And I think from a technical place, we're going to do this show no matter what, whether it's in the theater, whether it's social distanced in March. We're keeping our ears out to the CDC, but no matter what happens, we're going to do this show.
Well, we will be right back after the break. It is currently 80 degrees in Reading, and it's not even 8 o'clock yet. We know what kind of day that's going to be. This is KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Please give us a call at 605-4567 if you want to talk Cascade Theater.
The questions that you need to know the answers to before you're grown up.
When I grow up, I will eat sweets every day. On the way to work, and I will go to bed late every night.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and 2 sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and 2 fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to KCNR 96.5 FM. We are dancing here in studio with some people who know this music very well. There might have been some tears after the last break because of the excitement and everything surrounding Matilda. But I am Michael Burke, and I'm here with the clever critic,
Robert Burke, his son.
Who usually is here Wednesday mornings, and you'll probably hear him Wednesday with Carl and Linda when they're back. Robert has the clevercritics.com where he reviews movies, and he's been doing it since he was 10 years old. He started his own YouTube page. And since that time, he told us he wanted to be a director, and at about 8 years old, he said, I need to learn how to act before I can direct people, so I want to be in something. And I've been taking pictures for the Cascade Theater for probably about 15 years, and I was taking pictures of Fiddler on the Roof. Daryl Abbey was in that, and he tugs on my – he's small then, you can't believe that – but tugs on my shirt and says, Dad, I want to be in this. And I go, we got to go talk to her. And I pointed to Janet Leonard, who was the past producer for Cascade Theater. And she goes, well, I have a part that, well, you'll be on stage for 2 minutes. He's like, I'll take it. And since that time, he's been hooked. And he's worked with both of you. And you've helped mentor him and grow. I know Oliver was a really growing experience for you, Robert.
Definitely, for sure.
And but as you go through Matilda with some of the younger casting crew, how are you helping them navigate? Because every child, you know, I run the Child Abuse Prevention Coordinating Council, and every child needs a mentor outside the home. Every child needs somebody else outside of their family to believe in them. And a lot of times that's a director. That's a coach. That's somebody who's there to inspire and really move people along. How are you doing that with the youngers?
Well, I'm a teacher. Hi. Yeah. I'm a teacher. I'm a mom. Kids. And working with children is something very close to my heart. When I have kids in a show, their safety and comfortability is my top priority because I can't have them tell the story properly if they don't feel like they can take a risk to tell it. And it's hard. You know, even though you have that passion for being in a show, it can be a scary thing to be that vulnerable to do the things that you need to do. So getting the kids ready to tell this story was a huge part of the process. We read a lot of the story together. We talked about Roald Dahl and how we got to this Matilda point when all of a sudden you had these kids that were so excited. Some of them had never done a show at the Cascade before. This was their moment. All of a sudden that was taken from them. And you had these really fragile hearts that were trying to process everything. And again, I just spoke to the fact that they were still performers. They were still going to get to tell this story. And really, what I've done with my own children at home, as they have lost things through all of this, whether it was prom or my daughter was in a show and it was canceled. It was her first lead. Yeah, I mean, Robert knows.
Yeah, I was too.
And what I tried to tell her is that art finds a way to tell its story no matter what. Mm-hmm. And whether or not it looks like it originally looked, you're going to have to replace it with something that makes you feel like you're still creating. And so even though the kids aren't getting to do this process the way they thought they would, I'm just encouraging them to know that this is actually still part of telling the story.
Yeah.
And one day this is going to be such a magical thing to look back on and say, hey, we had a show. We weren't canceled. We were just postponed. And so, yeah, really making sure that kids at home are feeling good. I know Tara's done a lot of Zooms with us, which has really helped the cast. We sometimes just get together on Zoom and look at each other's faces and ask what we had for dinner and really just trying to keep those kids feeling in touch with the show. They might be a little bigger when we finally do it.
Sorry, Marcella.
Thankfully, our Matilda was quite petite to start with, so yeah. She'll be fine. But yeah, we may have to take out a couple of seams when we finally do the show. But I think that, you know, letting the cast know that we're still there, you know, we're still there supporting them and they're going to get to tell it.
So. And that's something that I've been really passionate about. I was let go from the theater in March, and I decided that no matter what happened, that I was going to keep this cast together. And I have. We do Zoom meetings. I had everybody do like drive-bys to my house to pick up shoes and cookies. We did like a swingin' happy hour. We have these beautiful swings that we installed in the theater. So I let everybody come in, masks, gloves, and we swung? So I think little things like that to just, you know, let everybody know that we're still here and that this is something, again, like Eileen said, we have not been canceled. We have been postponed, mm-hmm. and that's a very big difference.
Well, go ahead, Rob.
So going back to the Cascade Theater, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be cautious about COVID. So I was wondering what, like, safety precautions you guys were planning on taking with.
Yeah, I think the plan for now with the 6 feet is that's three chairs, so three seats. So the theater has, like I mentioned, Michelle and Todd, the general manager and the technical director, have been seamlessly, tirelessly cleaning and making sure that there are sanitation stations, that there are gloves for anybody who needs it. And then going forward with when we get to go to stage four, all the ticketing will be done with that 6 feet apart. So we may go from having a house of almost 1,000 to having a house of like 250, 300, but that's just the way it goes.
Right.
Got safety first, always and forever. I think that there's also a lot that can be done virtually with live streaming now. So I think that that's something that we're going to start looking into as well.
So like maybe like a pay-per-view? Like
yeah, something like that. So it's kind of, I mean, everything, we have to take everything day to day. Yesterday was very different than today. Tomorrow is going to be very different than today. So we kind of... Yes, we have a plan going forward, but it's a very malleable plan.
Right.
We have to, I mean, thank goodness we're theater people and we're flexible.
Right.
We can do this.
I think the whole world is doing that right now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You always have a plan. As a director, I had a plan for the show and what it would look like, but then you always have, what can I actually do?
Yeah.
You know, I asked for a zip line for Tarzan and didn't get a zip line, so we made it work, you know,
yeah.
And that this is the same kind of thing. We ask for what we want, but what can we actually do? And if it ends up even being filmed, I mean, you saw Hamilton recently.
Right.
You know,
I
know that they did that before social distancing, but yeah, you can absolutely film a show and still tell a great story. So I'm not afraid of it changing.
And someone here is actually married to a filmmaker, so that probably can work.
Agreed. And I've actually learned a lot from him over the last couple of months about what live streaming is. We live streamed our wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
And it's just, it's not anything I ever thought would be a possibility. So I think now that technology is where it's at and that we can do something as simple as live streaming our wedding, where we were initially only going to have 100 people come to our wedding, and now I had 300 people watching. So I think that there's something to be said about technology and being able to share Matilda from a live streamed place to people who would not be able to get to the theater. So I think that there's something there in the future, too.
My life philosophy has become one of hope, and hope is the mm-hmm. ability to set goals and have agency and pathway to achieve those goals. And obviously, as things get canceled, the phrase hope will find a way mm-hmm. keeps coming up. And what I'm hearing from you two is that hope has found a way, whether it's to a wedding, whether it's to Matilda. You guys are coming up with some creative solutions on how to let those artists and folks express their opinions in their artistic side, and I think that's really wonderful.
So my question was kind of more of a technical one. I was wondering, in terms of, like, rights, how it works with Matilda, keeping the rights, like, during all of these times.
Yeah, so MTI has been so wonderful. We just keep postponing. I send a little email that says, hey, we're going to postpone a little longer. And they're like, okay, great. So we already, when we initially get the rights, we have it for a certain amount of time. Sometimes it's 3 months, depending on the show. So we just keep postponing. So for now, we still have the rights, and we have them. I just got emails about all the things for October. So
yeah,
for now, we're good. But MTI has been really wonderful working with everybody. They're working on live streaming capabilities and how to change shows into a social distance format.
Oh, wonderful.
So going from, and that's, I don't know too much about it at the moment. I just know that that's something that they're thinking of. So taking a show and going, okay, well, this is a cast that is 20 people. How can we make this a cast that's 10?
So how can listeners, we just have about a minute left with you two, how can listeners stay engaged with the Cascade Theater and find out what's coming next and what's happening to Matilda and what the possibilities are for future shows in 2021?
Check out the Cascade's Facebook page and the Instagram. Anything that is new and exciting is going to pop up there, as well as check your emails. If you're a Cascade member, you'll be getting emails as well. And then, you know, you can follow Eileen on social medias, too. And
I put things out there sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to say with Matilda, not many people know, but Roald Dahl actually rewrote the story. He'd finished it. He sent it to his editor, and Matilda was kind of the little villain. And he said, you know what, that's not right. So he rewrote it, and our little story is being rewritten, and it feels appropriate.
Okay, we have to break now. This is KCNR, 96.5 FM. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Island and Tara.
Thank you.
This is not the time to shirk. We can do it.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Republican U.S. Senators Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz are on the list, along with GOP Congressman Chris Smith and the U.S. Ambassador for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback, all of them being told they will not be allowed to enter China. They've been outspoken critics of Beijing's policies toward minorities as well as people of faith. Florida hits an unwelcome milestone, registering the largest single-day increase in coronavirus cases of any one state since the start of the pandemic. Correspondent Ben Thomas says Florida recorded 15,299 new infections yesterday.
Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach are the top three counties for hospitalizations, and hospitals in several counties have stopped doing elective surgeries.
And in Texas, officials in Houston calling for the city to lock back down as area hospitals strain to accommodate the onslaught of COVID-19 patients. From land, in the air, and on the water, firefighters continue battling a blaze that broke out yesterday on a Navy ship docked in San Diego, injuring at least 21 people.
Rear Admiral Philip Sobek says the fire started around 8:30 Sunday morning aboard the USS Bonhomme Richard, triggering an explosion with gray-black smoke billowing into the air. He says it began in a vehicle and equipment storage area.
The fire was initially engaged by ship's company, and Naval Base San Diego activated their emergency operations center to alert level 3.
He says 17 sailors and at least four others, including firefighters, suffered minor injuries like smoke inhalation, and many of them were in the hospital. The fire is under investigation, and they are monitoring air quality. I'm Julie Walker.
And Wall Street starts off the week on the right foot, stocks sharply higher. The Dow is up 381 points, gain of more than 1%, and the S&P is up 40 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-308-7862. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-308-7862 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-308-7862 to see if you qualify. That's 800-308-7862.
A report on the January 8th shootdown by Iran of Ukraine International Airlines Flight 752 identifies a catalog of errors.
Iranian authorities had initially denied responsibility, only changing course days later after Western nations presented extensive evidence that Iran's Revolutionary Guard was to blame. Now the nation's civil aviation organization says a misaligned missile battery, miscommunication between troops and their commanders, and the decision to fire without authorization had resulted in the killing of all 176 people on board. The news may signal a new phase in the crash probe, as the aircraft's black box flight recorder is due to be sent to Paris, where investigators will finally be able to examine it. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Brexit back on the front burner in Britain, the government launching a new public information campaign preparing the nation for departure. Townhall.com. History is about to be made in space exploration. The focus is on the red planet.
Mars is about to be invaded by planet Earth big time. U.S., China, United Arab Emirates are sending spacecraft to Mars in quick succession beginning this week. It's the most sweeping effort yet to seek signs of ancient microscopic life at Mars while scoping out a place for future astronauts.
And that's correspondent Ron DeRockstra. The Washington NFL franchise dropping the Redskins name and Indian head logo, bowing to recent pressure from sponsors, including FedEx, to make the change. A new name must be selected for one of the oldest and most storied teams in the National Football League, and at this point, it's not clear as to just how soon that will take place. Watching Wall Street this morning, the S&P is up 42 points, while the Dow trading 413 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Well, Carl and Linda Bott, we are not, but I am Michael Burke.
And I am Robert Burke.
And Robert is here every Wednesday as part of the radio program where they talk about movies, and he is the clever critic in town. He started doing those reviews many, many years ago and has been able to do them on a news cafe. He continues to post about three movies a week, so it's exciting. It's first time he and I have been able to do this together as a father and son team. And last hour we talked about the theater community. Robert's been very involved with that. I've been involved with it from the outside, taking pictures and helping them out. But I just love watching live theater. But we're going to switch gears here. We're here with Peter Griggs from Shasta College. You're the director of marketing.
Correct. Good morning.
And Peter's got some guests on here that are going to be talking about health and wellness. And right now, just to let you know, it's 82 degrees in Reading, so we know it's going to be a hot one. Our telephone number is 605-4567 if you have any questions for the guests, for Peter, for Robert or I. And let's just jump in. Is Sonia on the line?
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to meet you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Sonia, and what you do?
Sure. Good morning, Robert and Michael. Thank you for having us on today. I'm super excited to be a part of this segment and share our health and wellness team. So Nicole and I are both here today with you. I'm a nurse for Shasta College. I'm actually the college nurse, and I'm an RN with a public health degree and a master's in nursing leadership, and I'm proud to be a part of the Shasta College team. I have a background in OB, diabetes, public health nursing, and I'm here to serve our students and community.
That's wonderful. I was good friends with Debbie Goodman, whose son Matt actually performed with Robert on stage multiple times at the Cascade. So I always say Reading is about a half a degree of separation from where you get to. And Robert is a student out at Shasta College. He's been taking classes a couple of times. So he may have some questions from you for a student standpoint. But tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the wellness program out there at Shasta College and exactly what you do?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. I actually have a sweet story. One of my dear friends is the director of grant writing. Her name is Amy, and she's the one that shared the job with me. And it's been about a year ago, and I hadn't finished my schooling, my master's degree. So I got completed that in August of 19 and then applied. And so I'm just amazed at the journey that it's been so far. I've been very my eyes are bright to see all the opportunity that Shasta College offers, not only me as an employee, but also the students in our community and state of California and all over, actually. We can have outside students as well as international, so we're very broad. We offer such an amazing platform, breadth of programs and opportunity for people all over. Very exciting.
That's fantastic. And you have somebody else on here with you, you said? You mentioned? Do they want to introduce themselves?
Nicole Smith. She's our psychological counselor.
Wonderful.
Hello.
Hi, Nicole. And what brings you to Shasta College? How long have you been there? And what kind of do you do for the students?
So I have been at Shasta College for a little over 4 years. And I am a licensed clinical social worker. So I provide mental health support for the students on campus.
It's kind of a little known secret how well and how much is available for students at Shasta College. When you become a student out there, what exactly are you entitled to or do you have available to you for medical and mental wellness?
Well, that's a good
Go ahead. Go ahead, Nicole. Sorry.
So they have our office available. And so in our office, there's myself for therapy. We have Sonia for nursing. We have a health technician who helps support our students in our office. And then we also have a contracted physician one day a week when we're typically open in that traditional setting. And so they have great short-term services available, and it's free during the semester because they pay for those services when they register.
Okay, let's go there and stay there for a second. How much does it cost for a student to receive mental health and wellness from the college?
So it is a, I believe, $21 fee for the semester. And they can see myself, the doctor, and our nurse.
That's a great, great benefit of being a student out there at Shasta College. And I bet a lot of students don't realize that that's there when they first sign up for college. That's wonderful you're here telling about it.
So,
yeah, Michael and Robert, can I inject on that?
Yeah.
I just want to add a little bit to that. Thank you, Nicole, for that wonderful example and the sharing of that. In addition, we have an online resource available through Shasta College, so we have lots of services that we are offering via a virtual or remote. And then I want to just introduce the fact that we now have a telehealth program. So I hit the door running in March, and from that point to now, our team has, with the support of administration, we have developed a telehealth program that we're excited to offer in this crazy setting that we are in today. So the online students have an opportunity to virtually see Nicole and myself and our physician once our fall semester opens up. So in the summer, we're doing telehealth now, as well as in the fall, we'll be offering that service. We'll probably be in a hybrid situation for fall. We're still not exactly sure what we're doing, but it's so exciting to have all of those opportunities to serve our students, and whatever needs they have, we can do it. So it's like, we have both options, which is phenomenal.
You know, I think you read my mind, because I was just about to ask how all of these programs had moved online. So my question now is, what are some of the things that you encourage your students to be doing or to better deal with all the new stresses on top of those that are already experienced by students?
Great question. Nicole, you want to take that one?
Sure. A lot of things that our students could be doing now on top of, the common stressors that just come with taking classes, taking care of a family, work, money, all the regular stressors of life in this new situation that we're in, is just focusing extra on that stress management and self-care. And we have some great resources for that. So we have on our website that anybody can access, we have some great online health screenings that they could do. So if they're not quite sure if how they're handling things is appropriate or not, and they're going, okay, am I having anxiety, like to the point of needing to talk to somebody, or is it a normal level of stress, they can actually take a screening to see how their anxiety levels are, and it'll tell you, like, hey, you might want to talk to somebody. And so that's a great resource right available on our webpage. ShastaCollege.edu/wellness will take you there. And so there's mental health screenings, there's alcohol and marijuana screenings if there's concerns about overusing substances to cope. There's some great resources just online. But then, just working on your self-care, taking time for yourself, trying to get outside, get some fresh air. Probably better this time of year to do that earlier in the morning before it gets to be triple digits. But going for a walk, doing those things, because you can do all of that while still social distancing. Talking with supportive people can also be extremely helpful, whether that's family, friends. I know a lot of people are doing like Zoom and Skype kind of calls with family that live this long distance. Doing those things are great ways to help you cope during this stressful time.
And when you talk about coping, can you guys, from a mental health perspective, I'm sure you're familiar with the phrase Zoom fatigue. Robert just spent hours on his UCLA film class on Zoom on a Sunday. Is Zoom fatigue a real thing?
Yes, it definitely is. Not just mental health-wise as well, also just for your eyesight.
Right.
It can be very stressful. And so, taking that time, like what we suggest, what I would suggest is try to only do like an hour at a time and then take a quick break. Mm-hmm. You know, go get up, move around, walk, do those kind of things, go get some water, do some stretching, whatever that is, just to help your body from getting stuff from sitting for so long, staring at a computer. It can be extremely stressful.
Absolutely.
So you want to throw extra skills in if you have to have a long Zoom meeting.
Well, just as we get ready to go into our break at the 15, when we come back, what I want to talk about is the amount of students you actually have available that that you give health care to, because there's a large student body that you have at Shasta College, and it's a segment of our community that needs the help that you're offering. So we'll look forward to talking to you after the break. This is KCNR, AM 1460 and FM 96.5.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Let us brighten up your summer. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play our
$10,000 Sunny Money Swipe to Win promotion.
Swipe daily for free slot play and prizes.
Weekly drawings every Wednesday at 7, 8, and 9 p.m.
15 winners, $100 free slot play.
5 winners, $500 cash.
Don't miss your chance to win your share of $10,000 and other great prizes. Details at windriver.com.
$10,000 Sunny Money Swipe to Win.
You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Everybody, and welcome back to KCNR 96.5 FM. I am not Carl or Linda Bob, but I am Robert Burke, and we are joined with me and my father,
Michael Burke, by Peter Griggs, Director of Marketing out at Shasta College.
Good morning to both of you.
And on the phone, we have Sonia and Nicole. And so we're really glad to have them online. Peter, how many students are there about out at Shasta College, both online and in person normally?
Right. So it does vary per semester. But in general, you know, we have about 14 to 15,000 that we do serve. And, you know, it's a significant part. As you mentioned just earlier, it's probably a half degree of separation in the Reading community. Mm-hmm. And that is so true. I step into the booth here, and, of course, Robert's here, and he's a student out at Shasta College.
Yeah.
We have so many alumni, and the college has touched the community really in so many different ways that it's incredible.
And I've actually instructed photojournalism out there now for about 10 or 12 years.
I teach
once a semester.
Yeah, so do we have Sonia and Nicole? I haven't heard them.
Yeah,
okay.
We're here. Yeah, sorry.
So I was wondering, as a student, if I wanted to go and get into the health and wellness program or, you know, select some of its services, how I would go about doing that on the website.
Thank you for asking that question. That's an excellent question. And we actually have an online student portal now. So if you were a registered student, you would be able to go and access into student services or go into your Shasta College online, and you click on the health and wellness. You would enter your, you know, your own credentials, and it's a confidential website. You're clicking on our health and wellness tile, and you get right into our portal. And through our portal, you have access to some health information, some of your health documents, immunization records, lab reports, have private messaging available, and be able to sign or consent via e-sign. So it's an awesome way to communicate to us and us to communicate to you and have access to those documents. So just launched. We just opened that up on July 1, and so we're proud and excited to have that other portal and avenue to communicate with our students and have access to us, as well as on our website. On our web page, we actually have the Shasta College website has a web page for health and wellness. We have a link where it says it's a distance consultation link, and so you just click on the little blue box, and it emails us. You fill in a fillable form, and we call you and communicate what your needs. You'll share with us what your needs are, and we'll connect with one of our providers, either Dr. David, myself, or Nicole, our health and wellness technician, Shelly. She's amazing, and she often is the first person that people would contact and talk to, and we navigate from there. So we have a great way to smoothly gain access to us and for us to gain access to you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, I'm taking English 1C right now at Shasta College virtually online, and a lot of we write 8 essays, and they're all our own, whatever we want to write, and a lot of them are about the stresses related to COVID or getting a lack of sleep because of it or being stressed out and anxious.
Right.
So it's really great that there's services like that for really, you know, Shasta College, it accustoms to all ages. There's college-age kids, and there's people with kids who are out there, so it's a really wide-ranging age group.
Senior citizens,
you know, Robert,
too, right?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
From a student's perspective, I think this is really important for us to hear, and I'm excited to have your opinion. What are your, you know, like, what are the kinds of things that you might need from us? Like, if we were to put it out there, you know, as a screen, what would that be to you? Like, what do you think you might need?
In terms of what I might need, I think a lot of people are struggling at home with staying motivated because, a lot of people that choose to take in-person classes choose it intentionally because they're not sure if they could, you know, stay motivated while at home. And even people who are normally accustomed to online classes, they might not be accustomed to this many. So just, you know, a motivational voice maybe or some sort of tips and strategies towards staying motivated during these times, I think that's something that would be really helpful.
Well, I really appreciate that personally because one of the things that I felt like we get to kind of change a little. In the past, we've had, you know, very structured environment in our health and wellness office. And students would come see us. They'd get their over-the-counter medications or make an appointment with Nicole or myself or Dr. David, and we would see them face-to-face. And we hopefully, you know, we'll have a hybrid situation fall for sure for spring. But with this COVID situation, I feel like we have a special opportunity to bridge that gap and to actually create more of a, I want to call it a case management style and an opportunity through the virtual platform that we now have.
to really partner with you as a student, and each student that would call us, that we could partner with them to really help them create that wellness plan. And that excites me. Like, that is really where I feel like we're heading. And Nicole has amazing skills and ways that she can help the students. Like, for example, she could talk about EMDR that she has available. But from my nursing perspective as well, we together can partner to really help create a wellness plan for each student. And so I just invite you to take that leap. And it does take courage and bravery to get on a new path. And with, you know, the situation with our UCs and the state colleges and the four-year plans, Peter and I were talking about that a little bit and how there's this gap for some students. Well, this gap doesn't have to be a gap. It's an opportunity, and that's how I look at it. We look at it as well, health and wellness. The opportunity to take that step towards a new future. And you don't even sometimes know what you don't know till you know, right?
Right.
And so it does take, you know, finding who you are and diving deep into your soul to figure out what are your goals, grab that bravery and courage, and then stick to that commitment to finish. And we're there to partner with you for that. And I just get excited about that. It's, if you have, maybe you might have time that you never had to connect with family and friends, and it's a cost savings for a community college versus a UC or a state. So it's an opportunity to boost your GPA, to totally, like, you know, drive home something brand new. Like right now we have the Vocal Institute started today. So there may be somebody out there that's listening that always wanted to take voice lessons. Well, this might be their opportunity, you know. It's like you can do it at night. You can do it in the morning early. If you're a morning bird, you want to get up at 5, you can get up and work on your school. Or if you're a late person, you know, you're not set to a set standard. But health and wellness, we're here. We can partner with you. And I think that's really exciting to hear what you just said.
Yeah, I'm glad.
If I can just jump in real quick. One thing that I would suggest just on that topic of having a hard time with online is one thing I recommend for people is pick a time of day and schedule it for yourself just like you were going to class.
Yeah.
So if it's Monday and Wednesdays, you have time from 10 to noon, and you're like, okay, I'm taking my English class from 10 to noon on Monday and Wednesdays, and you get yourself in that mindset of that is my class time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit here and do it. And so that's when I get online. That's when I do all that stuff. And then, you know, obviously, just like you would if you were in a classroom setting, you do your homework as you need to in between. But, like, you actually sit there and you do the readings and you do the pieces that you needed to do for a class. That helps people a lot when you're having that motivation
yeah.
problem is setting yourself up of, like, okay, Monday and Wednesday, just like if I was in on the campus doing the classwork then. Just one quick little tidbit for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
Well, I think it's important to not to talk about the COVID-19 precautions you have on campus.
Yes.
I know that you're doing the check-in points for the COVID-19 screenings, and that has nothing to do with the college itself. You just always open yourself as a campus to our community, whether it's for shelter, whether it's for fire, whether it's for COVID. The college and the campus is always there, which is really inspiring for our community. But what other precautions are you taking on campus if a student was to walk on and engage with you?
That's a great question, and social distancing is really one of the keys. As a nurse perspective, and really how I look at this, is the initial recommendations that the CDC put out right at the very beginning was, you know, cover your cough, distance, and wash your hands. And those three fundamentals still exist regarding all pathogens. You know, doesn't matter what pathogen, we would still want that same. And so that's a good fundamental base. And then on top of that, wearing your mask and keeping the 6-foot distancing. So those standards are there solid at Shasta College. From the very beginning, our EOC, our emergency operating team, they really have promoted in connection with all of the leaders, all of the staff at Shasta College to partner for the safety of the students and our staff as well. So, you know, we haven't gone to, like, taking your temperature yet, but that might come as things are starting to heat up. But ultimately, at Health and Wellness, we're screening, like prior to the closure, we're screening every student. We will be screening every student again once we're face-to-face. But just as a general tone, that's what we're doing at the gate. And initially, you know, each person really owning their own health is the key. It's how do I feel? Am I ill? Do I feel ill? If you're sick, stay home. Stay home if you're sick. Cover your face. Wash your hands. Stay 6 foot distancing. Those messages are the central key to health for all of us.
And can you tell us the website one more time that students can access to learn more about wellness? We have about 30 more seconds, so I want to make sure I give you that opportunity.
It's shastacollege.edu/wellness.
Fantastic. And we're going to actually lose Robert at the end of this when we go to break because he's got to go back home for his Zoom classes with UCLA as he's in film class. But we really want to thank you both for taking the time and being on with us. Robert, anything?
Thank you so much. I'm glad that I know about all these services now.
Robert, thank you for sharing. I appreciated your student perspective very much.
Of course.
This is KCNR. AM 1460 and FM 96.5. If you have any questions about the college, call us at 605-4567. We'll see you after the break.
Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hey, Linda, show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go!
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Don't distance yourself from your goals. At Shasta College, you can earn transfer-ready credits from the comfort of your couch or get job-ready for that high-demand career with convenient, cost-effective classes that work for you. Register now for fall classes. The semester starts August 17th, and now is the perfect time to take control of your future. Visit our website at shastacollege.edu or call 242-7500. Start your tomorrow today at Shasta College.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to KCNR 96.5 FM. I'm laughing because next we have a CIS professional from Shasta College. But first, it's 83 degrees in downtown Reading. It's going to be a hot one, a high of 103 forecast for today, which means you can actually probably melt your shoes if you step on black asphalt. Back in my newspaper days, I used to drive around this town, look for people just playing in water to take pictures of to put them on the front page. But there'll be a lot of people out in front of their homes, social distancing. We just had Robert on the line bringing a student perspective out to Shasta College. Sonia and Nicole did a great job. They're the wellness folks out at Shasta College. I'm here with Peter Griggs. He is the director of marketing. And next he's brought on Tom from the CIS department. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Tom, can you tell us a little bit, you know, we throw out, especially this community, I work in the nonprofit realm, we love acronyms, and we throw them out. I had to make an acronym sheet for one of my board members because she said, okay, enough of these acronyms. I don't want this and that. And this. So you're a CIS department, so can you explain a little bit about yourself what a CIS department is and does?
Sure. The CIS department, CIS stands for Computer and Information Systems. And so the department houses the computer science and all of our typical IT courses. I have been at the college for just about 20 years myself. I grew up local here. And I teach in the CIS department in business and the industrial technology. I teach everything from entrepreneurship. My passion is small businesses, helping students start something small for less than $100. Human resources, intro IT classes like how to use Microsoft Office and the Internet, all the way through some of the specialized certification courses. I also teach some automation and electronics and robotics. And I love, you know, the college. We have a great department, and it's just been an amazing job for me. It seems like it's more of a, I don't know, kind of a working adventure than a career, because I love to go to work every day.
Well, in 20 years, you probably haven't seen any change at all in the computer information systems that you've been working with, right?
Oh, I wish. We are constantly updating our courses. Every semester, there'll be updates. And between a year and 2 years, we're redesigning the course from the ground up.
Oh, you have
to. It just depends on how fast the software or hardware changes then. It's definitely a chore keeping up, not only with keeping our courses current, but maintaining our skill sets.
Absolutely.
I think to be able to teach them.
Maintaining that skill set is the key. I know when I started teaching out at Shasta College, I teach one course a year on photojournalism, and I was teaching at the college with film, because you took pictures and they would have to develop the film and then they would get them scanned in, and we'd still do digital imaging. But now it's gone on to an online class, which is very interesting, teaching photojournalism online. So all teachers have had to adapt, in especially your career span in the last 20 years, to be able to bring this content online and use computer information systems to really do that. So how many teachers are there for the CIS department? And really, what kind of classes do they teach?
Well, we have currently three full-time faculty, myself, Zabee Hendershot, and Jeff Hendrickson. And we just had a faculty retire, Lou Schmidt. He's been with us for, probably close to 30 years. Just retired this last semester. So down to three full-time faculty, but we have about 30 part-time faculty. And what we like to do is, you know, we each focus on certain areas or programs, degree or certification programs with, in our department. And, then we, you know, we each are in charge of, you know, making sure we have qualified, part-time faculty to teach those courses. And so we're always going out into the industry, you know, going out into local businesses to find, people who use this technology or software or whatever we're teaching every day and to come in and use that expertise and teach our students and share with them what it's like, you know, to work in the industry every day. For example, we have a web design and a program. It's called the web design, and then I think the second level cert is webmaster. So what we've done is we've created what's called a stackable certs for all of our certifications and courses. So the student will come in and they'll take, you know, one semester of courses, and they'll earn an entry level certificate. And then they could come back the next semester to work towards that second level certificate. And this is if they're going full time. So we have the webmaster, web design. We have computer maintenance and security. We have the Cisco, which is a networking side. It's kind of like the backbone of the internet. We have the Cisco certificate program and the Microsoft certificate programs. And all of these have entry-level certificates that just lead to higher-level certificates, the industry certs that all the employers want, up to, you know, an associate's degree or a transfer degree.
So let me ask.
So we have such a wide offering, and it's really great to be able to offer so many things with this program.
And Tom, are most of your students that go through your program, are they going on to 4-year universities, or are they going on to careers in the CIS field after what they learn from you all?
A vast majority of students are here to get industry certificates that are recognized by employers. We do offer some, you know, a pure computer science transfer program where this is where they're guaranteed acceptance into one of the CSUs as a junior if they complete these requirements. Then we have an associate's for transfer where you can kind of customize it depending on which university or you know, college they want to transfer to. But again, most of our students want those certs. They want that CCNA certificate. They want the NCSE certificate. You know, they want the A plus or Security Plus certificate or skills in Adobe for the web design. And that's what our employers here are looking for, are those certs.
Well, I would have much rather learned in a classroom than on my own through Google like I did. I can't say enough for learning in the classroom. So do these certificates lead to local jobs, and are those local jobs entry-level minimum wage, or what kind of jobs do these certificates lead to?
Well, our lower-level certificates, the ones that you can complete in a semester or a year, they lead to entry-level jobs. And there are local jobs here where the students can get some experience. The higher level certificates that take, you know, 2 years to complete, those lead to living wage jobs. There are great companies here that are looking for qualified people, and we see statewide a 30% growth in the IT industry. It's the fastest growing sector in the nation and in our state. Companies like EGI, which focuses on the Cisco routing and networking, Apex Technology, which focuses on the Microsoft side, and Sierra Pacific, which you know, has a large IT department, and they use a lot of technology in their lumber mills. And then Shasta County and, you know, places like that. Some students do leave the area, but, you know, a majority of our students, they want to stick around here. And, you know, we're always looking for new companies to partner with and kind of, you know, make sure we're providing what they need.
And is this technology, are your classes geared to just young people, or can any age person really jump into this and get what you're teaching to go on and maybe re-career or change paths?
Oh, definitely any age. Our average student age in our area is about 32. Many people are returning to school to, you know, get a little bit more education or get a few more certificates or update their certificate to keep it current, because those are all changing as well. And then they either come here while they're working and come to our night classes or online classes, or, you know, when we have, you know, a recession or something like that, we see an increase in enrollment, and they come back, get retrained so they can be qualified for a better job or a different job after they leave here.
Well, great. After the break, we're going to talk about a new building you're getting for your CIS department and everything else that's going on out at Shasta College with computer information systems. Tom, you've been a great guest. We look forward to having you back after the break. This is KCNR 96.5 FM Free Fire Radio.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda are off today. I am Michael Burke, and earlier with me was my son Robert Burke. He's on every Wednesday as the clever critic doing movie reviews here in town. And for this half hour, we have Peter Griggs from Shasta College. He's director of marketing.
Morning.
And we are sitting in a nice, cool studio right now, probably about 67 degrees inside the studio, but it's getting to be about 84 degrees outside. It's going to be 103 today, so make sure you're staying hydrated. Stay in the shade if you can. Pay attention to what your body's telling you. Earlier, we heard from Sonia and Nicole talk about wellness, and if you're not taking care of yourself, it's hard to take care of others. So, Tom, welcome back. We are talking with Tom, who's a director of the CIT program in Shasta College.
CIS.
Thank you. Why did I say CIT? I'm looking at it right here. And you have an exciting new building coming for CIS out there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, we are currently using a building and classrooms that were built in the 60s with little really done to them. And with this last bond, measure that was passed, we are getting a brand new building for the CIS department. Faculty, industry experts, and the architectural firm spent about 2 years designing this building, a little bit longer than some of the other projects on campus, but we really wanted to make sure that the building, like CIS, like IT, could adapt and flex and grow and change just like the technology changes. And so we'll have three brand new modern computer labs designed with active learning in mind. So our classrooms have pods of six students that are all working together around the table. The table's up against the wall, and they'll have like a big, you know, 80-inch flat screen TV that duplicates the projector at the front of the room. They'll each have a high-end computer and their own widescreen monitor. They can fit two average-size screens or two windows up on. Those pods will be able to be moved. And so let's say between semesters we need to rearrange the room a little bit. We'll be able to quickly unplug from a modular network jack in the wall and move it or plug into another one that's close by. All of our wiring is going to be exposed. All of our ceilings are exposed so that if we have to do any sort of rework, it's going to be pretty simple to do. We'll have a modern data center, just like you would see, you know, at a large company that would be full of routers and switches. And all of those will be wired to those stations throughout the classroom. Each pod will be wired to, you know, it's their own little set of networking equipment. Also, our faculty offices will be wired to that data center and the classroom so that prep that we do can be done from our office instead of having to, you know, go back and forth between our office and the classroom and the data center or whatnot. We will also have a maker space, which we're really excited about. We have been doing some VEX robotics, really came from Shasta High School program over there that's so great. And now we'll be able to have our competition arena set up in that room and to do some practicing. We'll have workbenches all around. We'll be able to put our 3D printers, our laser engraver, our vinyl cutter and bordering machine, all those cool tools will be in this room, and it will be used for hands-on labs, and it'll be open during free time for students to come in and get some tutoring through our technology club to work on their assignments or just to come in and learn some new cool stuff. We're just so excited about the building, and it's going to give us the ability to really expand and strengthen the programs that we have and add a couple of new programs like computer security and maybe even a drone program.
Very cool. So computer and security and drone programs are something exciting. Your robotics sounds amazing, and having an arena for people to actually do that. Tell us a little bit more about this arena. What is that going to look like? Robot fighting, or is that what is that?
Yeah, so if you've ever watched the Battle of the North State, that is a VEX competition put on by Shasta High School. And you have this arena. It's probably 6 feet by 6 feet, and you put your robots in there. And part of the time you're controlling the robot with a remote control, and other times it's running in autonomous mode where you have to write a program and it completes some path. Now, it's not like the robots where you see where there's chainsaws and flamethrowers coming out the front. But, you know, you do see some robots, you know, tussling a little bit and bumping each other a little bit. But it's really fun. It's something we can set up pretty quickly and take down when we need to. But currently we don't have a space that has, you know, our computer labs are just so full. There's no really empty space for us to have it set up. So it's difficult for us to really have a strong program when we can't, you know, have that space to practice.
Mm-hmm. So is your program, is Computer Information Systems helping Redding and Shasta County become more of a technological hub where we can start bringing in businesses? You know, Silicon Valley's, 4 hours away, probably 6 hours with traffic, but really 3.5-4 hours away. But we don't have much of that industry up here. But since I've been here for the 30 years I've been here, they've always talked about the tech industry moving in and moving up. I think that was the goal of Stillwater at some point. Is what you are doing at Shasta College, will that help move the dial for us to become more of a tech industry up here?
I believe so. We are teaching the current cutting-edge skills that industry needs. Programming, networking, security, you know, automation. And within some of the larger companies we have here, like Sierra Pacific and Knopf, we do, you know, do a lot of pretty amazing things with industrial automation and things like that. But, you know, you're right. We don't have a lot of pure tech companies here. Now, I've been in a meetings with a few different companies with our, you know, county and city leaders, and basically when we hear about a company coming or we're asked to meet with a company, you know, we say, look, what do you need? What do you need? We'll create a program for you. We'll create something. If you can give us some students or hire a certain amount of students, there's jobs. We'll create a program for you. And our last couple of new programs, like our maintenance mechanic program that Rick Osbrink started, and our industrial automation program, were started because Sierra Pacific and Knopf came to Shasta College and said, hey, we are hiring these people from outside the area. We need these programs here. And so they helped us design it and kind of took us under their wing, let us do some job shadowing and training at their facilities, connected us with global suppliers and kind of a network of other employers. And they send us their employees as students, and then they hire the other students into their company. And that's, you know, what we'd be willing to do with any business looking to come into our area or those that are currently in our area. Because that's, you know, as a community college, that's our job, is to first primarily benefit our community. And that is either by preparing students for jobs in our community or preparing our community members, our students, to go out of our area sometimes and get jobs and hopefully come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, grow our economy here.
So, Tom, if students of all ages, because we've talked, this isn't just for the I just graduated high school or I'm still in high school age child. When you think about computer information, you always go, oh, that's the young people. But this is really for any age. How can students interested or adult working people interested in learning more about these programs, how should they contact you or reach out to the college?
Well, at any time, they could email me, tmartin@shastacollege.edu. And I'd love to talk to them about our program. They can also call one of our amazing counselors, that we have just from our student services and call just the main number and ask for a counselor and they can make an appointment. Or we'd love to do some tours, when we can meet in person again. And I know Peter is working on some virtual tours of our campus. But yeah, anytime I'm open to talking to students and employers about what we can do.
Peter saying you can also call 242-7500. You could ask for Tom Martin or T. Martin at ShastaCollege.edu. Tom, it's been a fascinating half hour. We're really excited to have you on the show. I want to thank my co-host, Robert Burke, who is now engaged in his film school class. This is KCNR 96.5 FM. Thank you, Carl Linda, for the opportunity to host the show. My name is Michael Burke, and I am Director of Pathways to Hope for Children. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks.
And I won't back down. Hey, baby.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.